Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's feature is the Centaurettes. Had a great time hanging out with them at their home and talking about their brand new EP coming out, some of their story, how the group formed and everything since this our first time meeting, and it was a lot of fun. We even did a live acoustic take on a song of theirs called Dear Diary that you're going to get a little hear that and get a little preview of the EP coming up, including their debut single, Spider on the Wall, which is now available everywhere, wherever you get your digital music at. And keep an eye out for their Cute to Be Mean EP due out on May 21st. So follow along with them on Facebook and Instagram for more updates. Do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. You've been hearing me talk all about them. I love these guys. And you can stop by the shop over in the Maplewood area in St. Louis and swing by and visit them and pick up all your all-natural beard oils, beard balms, their junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. You can also visit the website and shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your entire purchase. It's a great deal. It's a great way to help support this show and support local business. And even if you don't have a beard, you can check out American Rambler for all your grooming needs. They've got you taken care of. All sorts of wonderful smelling products, all kinds of things, even down to combs. Whatever you need, they got you taken care of. Find it all, roughneckbeardcompany.com. Also, big shout out to Heil Sound for their help in making this show sound great. Shop heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. If you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys. And if you want to help support this show, a great way to do so would be to visit buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and visit the all-new merch store. Just added some tank tops and some hats, some snapback trucker hats, and also the original logo shirts and the little Shaney t-shirts are still available up there. So check it out, all kinds of colors and sizes, whatever you need. Hopefully we can take care of you there. And there's just, I don't know, I love it. It's so cool seeing those shirts out, seeing the little Shaney shirts when around town. It always makes me laugh and puts a smile on my face. So thank you to everybody that's bought those. It means the world to me. Appreciate all your help and support. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with my new friends, the Centaurettes.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We are the Centaurettes.
And you are listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the Centaurettes. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yo. Hey. I just make stuff up.
Yeah. Nailed it. This is cool. This is I say it a lot doing this show, but this is our first time meeting and hanging out, and we've already having a great time today. But that's what the fun of this show is. It gets me out meeting different people making music in our city, and so it's fun to constantly discovering new music all the time and making new friends. So thank you for doing the show, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
Yeah. Anybody that doesn't know the group, let's go around the mics and everybody introduce themselves and maybe your role in the band.
Nose goes. I do all the time. It's always a nose goes, and I'm just like, huh? Where am I?
You're always late.
Yeah. Always on CPT. My name's Danny Jackson. I play drums, and I sing a little bit, and I play some guitar and some other stuff, too. I'm new here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, 1 year new. Like, yeah.
It's been over a year.
I'm about to say, you've been... Yeah, bro.
I have no reference of time.
Apparently. I'm Bianca. I play bass, and I sing half lead vocals, I guess. Half of that.
You sing.
I sing. I do some stuff. I get around, you know.
Last but not least. My name is Derek. I do guitar, vocals, and drums sometimes. And keys when they let me.
Yeah.
We don't.
They don't let me. they don't
let me. This is every day.
That was pretty unanimous.
We're working on it.
Yeah. I guess might be good to go back a little bit. I know that, but I guess this group is still fairly new, right?
Relatively.
Yeah. So where does this idea start to put this group together?
I don't even know how far back to go.
It all started when I was born. Yeah.
So in I think this was 2017. I went to a concert, and I've always been pretty musically inclined personally. So I just went to this concert, and I was like, you know what, I could be doing that. So I went home and I asked Derek to teach me how to play bass. I was like, will you teach me how to play bass? And he was like, yeah. So I learned, and he already played guitar. So
and no one would ever play with me. So
no one would ever play bass for him.
Nobody.
So he was like, man, I really need a bassist. And I was like, you know what, I could learn bass. So
I was like, okay, all right,
yeah,
so can make that work.
You two been friends for a long time then, before the band too?
Yeah. Before the band for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been friends since we were 18 and 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Youngins.
And then, just started with that, just jamming a little bit. And
I wanted to learn all of the Ramones songs. So
and Bleached.
Yeah, huh. And Bleached. I wanted to learn all the Ramones and Bleached and some Pixies songs.
So
we just jammed on those for a long time, and I think one day we just started writing stuff.
Yup. Well, I used to write stuff back then, and I had this one song, and I was just like, oh, this is pretty good. You should add bass to this. And then you did, and you came up with a better bass line than I ever could have in a million years. And I was just like,
oh. Got him.
I was like, all right, okay.
I'm in.
Right. I'm in. It's we may have something here. All right.
So then, since then, we've done a lot. We went to LA and made our living playing house parties for rich people, for millionaires. So one of our favorite, this guy threw parties all the time. Any occasion, any excuse, Hillary. Yeah. Any excuse to throw a party, he wanted to throw a party. It was great. So he would always call us and be like, hey, you guys want to come? And he set up a whole stage and PA and light show system on his balcony. They lived in Venice Canals. And he would be like, hey, I'll pay you $200 to come play this party. And so we did. And we got around there, and then we ended up getting a drummer there. And then just moving back home after a year. So that was fun too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. Then, I don't know. We found a friend of ours who play drums for us, our buddy Caleb. Yeah, he played,
Caleb!
Hell yeah, he played with us for about a year, and then he went on to go do teaching and do his own thing, and now we have Danny here, and Danny's been killing it for about a year and a half now.
See, I did the opposite, because I was already a teacher, so...
yeah, Danny.
So we traded a drummer for a teacher, and then a teacher for a drummer, basically.
Even trade.
We're like, we'll get...
An eye for an eye.
So how's Danny coming? How do you enter the picture? Is that you all three know each other before? Or
I think I met Bianca and like you invited me to a show at Foo Bar, which I had never been to. Was like way outside of my scene, and I was like, all right, I'll go
to this dirty dark, dimly lit.
But I'm like, this place has two doors. Where the fuck am I supposed to be at? Like, what am I doing? So I go in. I'm like, okay, cool. Listen, and then I'm like, oh shit, like their shit is like cool. Like this is awesome. Like, and I think one day like I came over when you guys were practicing. Everybody was like hanging out and chilling, and then like that was the day that one of the songs from you introduced Playing with Dolls, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That was one of the first times I came over here, and then there was like a show like after that.
Oh, my God. I remember playing that for the first time. It sounded so fucking bad.
And you guys were ready to scrap it.
Danny was just sitting there like,
You guys were ready to scrap it, and I was like, no, bro, that's a good song. That's good. I was like, please, God, don't get rid of the song. But yeah, so now that's on the EP.
Yes.
Final track.
Yeah. It clawed its way through.
It did.
Daniel's help.
So, I mean, locally, like, you guys already had like a following, like we're in like the Alton scene and like stuff over here too, and like,
oddly enough
then like when I joined it was like great, we were releasing the other EP and then COVID happened.
Yeah, we actually canceled our first like mini Midwest tour, I mean, because
of COVID. We had like a whole little Midwest tour
so
set up.
We're hoping to pick that up after we're all vaxxed, waxed, and ready to
Chicago,
attack.
Indiana, Missouri, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh, Arkansas? I want to play Wisconsin with Nasty Boys again.
Kentucky?
Listening.
Cheese curds and
we're coming to Milwaukee.
The Cult of Nasty, we're coming.
Shout out to the Nasty Boys.
Okay, so we did briefly run a DIY venue in our basement.
Yes.
Called Wolf Pussy.
For like a year. Yeah. It wasn't briefly.
Yeah, it was like a year. It was a chunk of time, yeah. Never had the cops called once. Hey! Let's all celebrate that.
Premier underground spot.
It was a nice little spot. We had some pretty interesting people come through.
Coming to you live from the Wolf Pussy living room.
What a name.
Yeah, there's a big... I will have to show you. There's a big sign we have down there, like a furry wall set up that says Wolf Pussy.
Where did the name come from?
You came up with that from
Nick Swardson.
Yes.
Nick Swardson like does this bit about how when he's old he can't wait to complain about everything, about how like his soup tastes like wolf pussy. So that's where the name came from.
I like that you said there was a furry wall down there in Wolf Pussy. So.
Furry. Yeah. It take much a Jeffrey. Resembles a wolf pussy.
It's very important.
And you can stroke it.
In case you run into a Jeffrey, you need to stroke the wall.
Right.
We don't promote drugs.
We don't promote Jeffreys. We don't promote sneaking Jeffreys to people.
We don't have security either. So.
We don't. Derek is security. If you know Derek. He's a pretty reasonable guy.
I'm a big fan of Nick Swardson. He's a funny guy.
Oh my god,
he's so funny.
And like, who wears those tiny shorts better? Right. Tell me.
Oh yeah.
Tell me who.
Right.
Daniel's like
Tobias.
The never nude.
I got to see him at the pageant one time. That was a fun night out. But. That joke he does about his how like his grandmother makes him feel like he's like the strongest, you know, he's like how like old people are so weak, so like you can just do simple things and they think it's like a your superpowers or whatever. So he's like, oh Nicholas, will you give me that gallon of milk? He's like, this gallon of milk right here.
She's like, oh. My strong boy.
Cracks me up.
All we do is talk to you. Oh, that's fucking funny.
So funny.
Trailer Park Boys came through here like a couple years ago when old boy was still alive, and I missed out on that one. I don't know. I decided not to go.
Rip.
Then he died like the next year. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. That's a really actually a big motivator for me. Like, I go to a ton of live shows. It's just a huge part of, prior to COVID.
You go to any SwearNet shows?
SwearNet?
Yeah, that's the like podcast that Bubbles, Ricky, and they all run from.
Right, right. Yeah. I was like, why do I
know? They run this whole little operation called SwearNet.
All right. I don't know. I know of the show, but I've never actually watched any Trailer Park Boys.
it's an acquired taste. Yeah.
I don't know if it holds up anymore, but I used to love it.
I would go to a lot of shows, and then like. But that was like the biggest thing. It was like, it's just, you never know when these people are going to be gone, you know? So like, I always try to catch them every time they were in town and stuff. So, it's definitely happened where it's like, you miss that one and then all of a sudden somebody's gone. So
right.
It's a sad reality, but it's like, so, or the band breaks up or whatever happens,
right,
you know? So
exactly.
I definitely try to like go to see bands every time I can.
Obviously that's been a struggle.
Yeah,
that's how I felt about like when we first started getting into the music scene, Biff Gnarly, because they were so fucking huge when we first joined the scene, and we were like, oh cool, so right on, we're like, we know these guys. And then they broke up
on a great show.
Not too long after that, and we were like, well shit.
They've been on a really great show, yeah.
Oh, fuck
yeah. I miss
a
lot of those old bands that have kind of dissipated with time. And
yeah.
It's crazy how fast
things move. I mean, like, growing up and all that shit, I get that.
Yeah, people move, people get new jobs.
Right. Have kids.
Get out of the area. People leave St. Louis, come back, you know.
Yep, it happens. We guys kind of alluded to, we are working on a brand new EP that will be in your hands soon.
Ow!
Hey!
EP!
So we do have a current previous EP, right? That's available wherever you get your music.
So if you follow the Central Arts Instagram or Facebook, you will see that Instagram. The first, little like preview we did of it, we posted some promotional pictures and the cover of the single. It's a hashtag, we did not record this in our basement. And I think that's important for people to know, because our first EP was entirely... So we're like DIY. A very much a DIY band. Like, and I'm proud. That's like kind of a badge that I'm proud to wear.
I'm
like,
DIY. Well, and
DIY,
I'm
die, baby. What's up? Like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all. But the first EP was completely, entirely recorded in our basement.
With one SM57 microphone.
SM57.
The world record for
So, at some points when we were tracking drums to get like a full sound, we would lift up the ceiling panels and wrap the microphone cord around the banisters in the ceiling, and let it dangle. And you can just hear squirrels up pitch, mad, angry. They're mad. You're disturbing. Like, they don't, they already have to deal with the noise. And now you're kind of lifting up their panels. So one time when we were doing that, we found some things.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we find some things in our ceiling panels that don't belong to us?
We found old letters.
We found old prison letters in our ceiling panels from this guy. I'm not going to say his full name, but his first name is Ken.
Haunted.
Okay. So we found...
Second name is Disney.
Stop, beep. I hate you. So we found these prison letters between Ken and his prison lover, Ashley. He wasn't in prison. She was in prison.
I was like, who is in prison?
Yeah.
Ashley's in prison. Okay. Ken's out here doing God knows what, because we also found Viagra bottles.
Empty.
Very expired. And empty. I don't know why you would keep the empty bottle.
Anyway, all that shows up in the
hiding
record.
Them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool.
All that shows up in the record.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, we did that first record.
And you can hear all that, toxic air in the first EP.
So, the first EP, I'm really proud of how it turned out. But with the second one, we were like, okay. So we did the first one our own special DIY way, and it sounded solid for what it was.
Absolutely.
And we actually had it, like, mastered by some guy in fucking,
Romania.
Romania, that's it. Yeah.
Shout out to the internet.
Right. Yeah, for real. And, but yeah, so with this new EP, we were like, okay, so we did that. That turned out how it did, and we were okay with that, and it was solid. It was good. But we were like, this time we want to do things a little bit more like, I don't know what the right word is. But, so we recorded with Lighthouse Sounds in Alton, actually. We kind of chopped around at different studios, seeing what was up. And, Lighthouse was the most professional, nicest, best looking one with the nicest equipment we could possibly find. And
afford. Plus, you mean afford.
Good deals, good sound.
You can find it on price range. Yeah, and we already, our buddy Alex St. Sin there. We already knew him, and like, Moose. I don't know, recording the first EP was so stressful, so massively stressful that we were like, okay, when we record again, we want to make this.
Let's stress somebody else out.
Right. Let's try to make this as easy as possible on ourselves. And Alex did such a great job. And we had, I never thought this would happen, but we actually had fun recording.
I mean, I had never recorded in the studio, so I was terrified.
It was a blast. It's kind of like,
it was so
fun. It's kind of like when you get a stray cat and they've never been in a real house before, you know, so they want to go everywhere and touch everything. Exactly. That's kind of
I mean, honestly, yeah, for any like other local band, like, it's like the thing about it is people don't want to like, you know, like times are hard, but like people don't want to like invest the money in like good recording. And it's like, your following is going to rely on, you know, what they can find right away. So it's like, it's worth it to put in the extra time. So
it has to be clean, accessible.
We did like 2 days, like a week apart.
I think two 10 hours.
Yeah, two 10-hour days, and just knocked it out. But like, we had everything, you know, pretty much prepped.
I mean, and everything was so comfortable and like low stress, and it was just like so worth it.
Yep,
sure.
I will add, I was also really happy that we got to. We recorded the whole thing live, basically.
Yeah.
And there was one guitar, a bass, and drums, and we did all of that for all the songs, just boom, straight through, done. And then just layered extra guitars and vocal harmonies and shit on top of that.
Alex was like, you know, it wouldn't hurt to practice all these songs a couple times before you come in. We probably spent like 14 to 16 hours the like week before we went in, just so playing them hours. All over and over and over leasing, and over. Yeah. We're like, we're not gonna go in there and look like fools because none of us have ever studio recorded before.
Right.
it was a good.
We were like almost over prepared, but it was.
But it was a good. You know, we came with snacks and recreational substances and alcohol and.
What kind of snacks we're bringing?
Oh, the first thing I did was I went and I bought 2 packs of Red Bull. And I was like, this is going to get us. We're going to just
Centaur Red's energy
dead.
Drink of Red choice, Red Bull. Red Bull, if you're looking to endorse anybody, we will happily take Red Bulls to the shows.
I'll get a tattoo.
Throw them out. I'll get a tattoo.
Red Bull gives me a tattoo. I'll wear a hat.
Red Bull single-handedly fueled my time working at Guitar Center. So I will fully endorse Red Bull. The Red Bull car comes
and he's
up.
He's like, I'm also now opening up this opportunity to Guitar Center.
Also, now that I mentioned Guitar Center.
Also, Heil Microphones. Shout out. Right. Mics were in my church.
Shit, if Disney wants to plug us. Oh, no. We'll play.
Don't say the D word.
Don't say the
knee.
D to the knee.
This is a podcast, right?
I mean, I think technically.
Now we're rambling. Yeah. what did you ask us?
What did you?
I don't even know. I think we were talking about snacks.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Like I'm cool with snacks and everything, but like when I'm recording, I want some hot Taco Bell. Like I want to feel like shit. Like,
not what we need for vocals, but
I want to hate myself even more because I have to hear myself sing, and now I'm gonna eat Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's like early in the day we're like nervous, then you get comfortable, and then you get like too drunk, and then you're like,
there we go.
This is art.
This is the process.
What else do you want?
I think the last thing I would add about the EP that I can think of is so for actually the single that we're dropping on April 21st, Spider on the Wall, with us and our friends and the Distanize crew all got in the fucking vocal booth together and recorded like just one big ass laugh track
very
at the
snug.
End. And I don't know, it's kind of like a major minor kind of song, so it's got like this creepy vibe to it. So at the end, like, you just hear all this laughing and shit, and it's so creepy and cool.
Blood curdling.
It always just makes me think of Master of Puppets. That's what I was going for. It was like a Master of Puppets kind of vibe.
Yeah, so there's like 11 distinct laughs in that.
Whose is the most distinct, Bianca?
I don't recall. Excuse me?
Didn't say anything. No, but it was a good time. It was a really collaborative process. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah. You fucking honestly, that was a really big moment for you.
Because Daniel was like really nervous to go in the studio, but that's where you shine, like, for real. Yeah. You were on it.
And like, before that, like, you had always done drums and you were really solid at that. But that was when we were just like, oh shit. He can do a lot more than just drums. You had
background vocals. Yeah, Daniel was playing drums, doing background harmonies, organ, keyboard, fucking.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what else? Guitar, everything.
Yeah.
Choreography.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a middle school music teacher, it's a lot so of if that gives you any back, us, but we got you know, there's the reasoning behind it. So.
Yeah.
After we were done recording, we were like, Danny, get a microphone for practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now we do, like, yeah. So
that's why the record has a lot of the recorder on it, you know.
A ton.
Yeah, so go ahead, get it cracking. Yeah. We got the organ, though. That'll feel. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, we really didn't have any, like, we just had songs, and, like, they already had songs before I joined, so it was just, like, you know, what's relevant to, like, the sound. And, like, we don't really stick into, like, a specific genre because it's just the influence of, like,
everything.
You guys gave me a little advanced sneak peek, and that's what I did notice. Like, there are elements of, like, punk rock, you know, stuff, right. But there's also, you know, there's a lot of variety in the sound, and that's what I like that it wasn't, you know, straightforward five tracks that all kind of sound the same.
Right.
It was there's a lot of dynamic throughout the whole record, the EP. So, but you mentioned Spider on the Wall, which will be the debut single from this collection of songs coming out.
Don't know.
Well, let's anything else besides the in the vocal booth? Any other stories kind of come to mind around this particular song?
I mean, I asked for Alex if he could. He was like, "Yeah, like we have whatever equipment you need, I can get it." And I was like, "Any equipment?" It's like, Daniel's don't tell me that. Like,
I'm a gear music major.
I'm a gear nerd. I'm a gear grub. So. I was like, can you get a keyboard for some organ sounds? Like something. He was like,
no, yeah, you didn't ask for any keyboard.
Oh, no, no. I
asked for a really, really, really high-end keyboard.
Okay, so I asked for a Nord Electro because it has the, you know, fake draw bars as if I actually play keyboard. I'm not a real keyboard.
Well, you sound like learned. It on the record.
I took some lessons. But,
you fooled me.
Yeah, so I was like begging them. I was like, guys, like, we have to have organ, like, it's gotta fill out the sound. I was like, I promise. So we recorded everything else up front, and we're like, I was like, can we please record it? And you guys are like, okay, give us a break. And then like 20 minutes, just laid the organ tracks down.
It was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
And it just filled out the sound. We were like, okay, whatever.
So you can actually hear a lot of that on Dear Diary.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of like, too, yeah. It's a lot of crossovers. It's a lot of like indie, like from every decade crossover type.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of started as a joke, but now I think it kind of like has stuck. Yeah. But we like classify ourselves as pastel punk because it's not like really.
It's in your face, but like
with in a lot your of face. Love.
We're we're just happy to be here.
Right, like, we're just happy to be here. But, like, I don't know, we came to rock out, but we're just really happy about it.
Still a little defensive, though. No hurting.
Still very sad, though. Don't worry.
Hey, Kevin.
It always cracks me up with, like, the other... I think my... You know, when other bands, like, genre label you, like, that was one thing that was really funny when we started playing out, when other bands, like, called us emo, and I was like... I guess so. I would not use that term personally, but that's what everyone else seems to think. So
I think that's another unique thing about the band is that we just like, you know, create stuff that's like is personal, but like it sounds good. It's like the emotion that comes out.
You can still bop to
it
for sure.
You can still bop to it. It's like you listen to the words, but like otherwise you can just hop in the mosh. Like,
right.
You know, whenever that comes back.
Can't wait for that.
Sad.
Yeah, I don't know about, I wouldn't say emo, but.
Not this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But there's definitely still, you know, emotional stuff. There's a lot of feelings in these lyrics, I can tell, which, you know, would lend itself to more emo kind of. But I don't. I'm not. You know, I don't feel like you guys are. You know, I don't know. I think of like the, you know, black dyed hair and the got, you know, eyeliner and the, you know, like I, you know, just
hot topic.
Right. When I think emo, that's where my mind goes. I think of, you know, in Story of the Year, Until I Die, The Day I Die, and right. Like, you know, or something like singing out these songs. I mean, I love all that stuff, but like, it's not where my mind goes.
Yeah. I just wouldn't equate it to what we're doing, trying to do, I guess.
Right. So, but yeah. Anyway, but I was listening to this collection of songs, and I was really enjoying it. And plus, like, not what's fun for me as you know. Again, I just learned of the group the other day, and kind of I love hitting play and not really having any idea what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so and. So for, you know, the first one, you get one vocal and then you're like, okay, maybe that's kind of what they sound like. And then the next one is like, I realize, oh, they have two singers. Like, you know, so I was like,
I think by the third or fourth, you realize we have three singers. Right. Yeah, so you're like,
you know, and that's what's kind of fun too, is like, it's just a lot of different, variety coming at you. So, but yeah, it's, so I dig it. I think what you guys are got going is really cool, so
we're gonna keep you on your toes for sure.
We'll keep it fresh. I do really like that we all just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like Beatles-y to me almost. Like we each have our own style that we do whenever one of us takes over a song, and so it's, I don't know, whenever we're like releasing something new, we're always like, arguing amongst each other, like, all right, so what songs are we going to pick? And we're like, no, that's too many of your songs. No. We need to add one more of mine on there.
It is always a debate.
All done.
We're like, well, do these two really fit
and
together?
And I'm just Ringo in the back. Hey, whatever.
You're easily George. You're easily George, bro.
Three songs.
Then he's like, I'll pop one out.
Hey, you signed the contract that said only so many songs per record, right? You signed it.
You do everything else though.
You meet your quota.
Right.
So what so as far as writing, do you both bring your like own songs in and
oh my god, it's so muddled.
Yeah.
It's really all over the place. I would say typically the way it goes is one of us will have like a skeleton idea of a song, like these are the chords, these are the vocal melodies, and a loose idea of structure. And then once we bring it together, then we iron out the details of, okay, well, where can we, what needs to have more flair added to it? What parts are kind of boring to us right. that we can spice up? And like, you know, what needs to be changed?
I mean, yeah, that keeps it interesting, you know?
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I think one thing that's important that we've gotten really good at over the past couple of years that's taken, you know, a lot of learning and stuff is, like, having one guitarist and one bassist, you're basically splitting the lead. Mm-hmm. So it is fun to, like, kind of we get to switch. Like, we've gotten pretty good at it now to where we can switch back and forth throughout a song on taking the lead. And, like,
yeah,
I think one thing that we're all really good at is just servicing the song instead of our own instrument.
Yes, I agree.
So that's why a lot of our songs just kind of sound like Power Ranger outro music. It's like, I don't know, we all just service the song. Like, no matter what we're doing, it's to make the song good. You know? Right. It's gonna slap. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna pop around.
It's gonna slap at some point. You know?
For sure. That was surprising. When we were in the studio and, like, we were all talking about levels and everything, I really thought that we would all be, like, fighting tooth and nail for our own things. Yeah. But we generally agreed on, like, oh, the bass needs to be louder here. Right, oh, the guitar vocals need to be louder here.
Yeah.
I was proud of that, actually. I was like, oh, so we actually all are trying to service the song and not ourselves. Cool.
Got it.
Cool.
There's like, all right, bring those guitars down.
Oh, wait, never mind. Push them back up.
The next week.
Turn them back up.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like up. A really collaborative process. And I think, like, you know, going back to, like, the whole style thing, it's like, we're all influenced by different things. So it's just like, you know, Derek will have a guitar riff and I'll be like, hey, it'll be cool if you like flip that. And then we'll put a drum part to it. And then B comes and just puts a drum and it becomes a song. Like, it's like probably the easiest, like, collaborative, like, music process I've had. And it's like, when you only have three people, you know, it's like, there's always a tiebreaker.
No matter what, there's like, always a tiebreaker.
I set two. I set one.
Daniel.
I'm always the last one. I'm like, two.
Is Power Ranger outro music, is that in the bio?
It's in the liner.
That should be on the bio.
That's actually something I heard. We played a music festival once. And someone told us that right afterwards. And was like, you guys were great. That sounds like Power Rangers outro music.
Bro, old people
and
love
I would just like to say that during our set, I saw those same people tossing rocks up into the air and catching them with their mouths. So I pretty much just stuck with that.
Sounds legit.
Those kids seem smart.
Those were our most hardcore fans.
Those fans showed up to every. We stopped playing places with rocks. Like, that's how much they showed up.
We're like,
smooth ground only, no gravel.
Like, yeah, I just got a question. Is there going to be rocks
we're
at the
gonna
venue?
We're going to need to move all the plants out of the way.
I mean, there can't be rocks. There are any hard objects.
Bolt everything down.
I mean, people come out like there's
like we're
consistent.
Not even screamo. Yeah. So like, I don't know what the hardcore kids get out of it, but I'm happy they're there. Like,
too.
I'm just happy to see them.
Me too. One time, I did have somebody come up to me and say, they said, "All right, I can tell that one of you in this band listens to hardcore punk. Who is it?" And I was like, "It's me." You found him.
Got him.
All that Black Flag and Flipper shit.
I'm the mainstream Fall Out Boy kid.
1975.
That's right.
1975, Foo Fighters.
That's true.
I'm very like 90s grunge, female fronted, breeders, throwing real muses. Scene
type shit.
Yeah. Rilo Kiley type stuff.
Also, shout out Zoe Deschanel's band, She and Him. They're fucking amazing and don't get enough love.
Yeah.
I will rep them till I die. I don't care.
Local band influences?
That was a hard answer for me. I'm sorry.
I wasn't prepared for that question.
I wasn't prepared for that either, no.
See, I think we take a lot of influence from, like, I don't know, the bands that used to be really big in the, like, St. Louis scene. Like, Biff Gnarly and a little bit from, what are they called?
Dissonize?
No.
Oh, what?
No.
Who?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I
have their t-shirt. Why don't you remember?
Oh, no, we don't talk about them
anymore. Okay.
Meanwhile.
Beep.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a lot of friends in the local music scene, and we've made some great friends that way, and we're really tight with a lot of people, but I just to be like 100% honest, I feel like our sound is like really outside of
it is
most of them. Whenever we play with a lot of the local bands, I'm like, I don't know. I often feel like the odd one out.
It is a little bit hard to find where our sound fits in just because it is like so widely varied.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel
very retro too.
Now, especially with the way that, you know, we try to make this recording sound, like, it's that like analog, like 90s, like kind of gritty, but still like defined.
Still a little bit kind of like on the edges.
That kind of like you could put it on the radio next to a Taylor Swift song or something, like, and it would like stand up next to it. Like that was the goal. And
yeah, that's what we wanted. When
we just wanted
studio.
Like a really fine production. Basically,
I was like, I want our songs to be able to be right next to any fucking rap, hip hop song, popular stuff going on, and not lose any weight. I don't know, some of your favorite like rock bands, you know, you put them on after fucking Tay Money and you're just, and all of a sudden the sound shrinks and you're just like, this is cool.
And I think
but
a lot of that has to do with like older production, and it's like we derive so much from an older sound, but with new age production, it's really cool to see those like two things collide kind of. Because like, I don't know, I could put on a Throwing Muses song right now and it would sound like somebody's playing it under a blanket in the next house.
Right. And a CD player on some
shitty
headphones.
That's one of my biggest influences. So like with that style and that heart and like kind of gritty soul mixed with like such a clean, fine production from Lighthouse Sounds is like kind of crazy to see. And like I know like we don't see a ton of local musicians doing it just because like, and it's understandable because a lot of local musicians just kind of like to stick with their sound. So if you're a DIY band, you're fucking doing DIY recordings, you know, you're doing everything yourself or like, you
know,
with
friends.
I know this
guy that knows this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like who's gonna master your shit for you after we record it, you know,
might be a few
closet.
Months
like, and that's like what we did for such a long time and that was fucking great, but we were just like, we decided to kind of twist it around, I guess, this time. Sure. And take that dirty sound, dirty basement sound, but like take it somewhere really squeaky clean.
Right.
Yeah, literally. Mess up your floor.
I don't know.
It's like taking your 87 Toyota to the car wash.
Yeah, baby, we're gonna get it
and
clean.
It looks fucking great.
Take it to the Blue Iguana car wash.
I swear.
It's clean,
get the
wax.
Light up the inside.
Yeah.
The $18 wash. Yeah, but like, seriously, like it's. You know, it stands up, and that's the thing, like, now, I think, especially with the COVID age and, like, people trying to promote and, like, people trying to figure out, like, what is the best? Like, social media is still there, but, like, word of mouth at the end of the day is, like, what's there? But it's, like, if you're trying to get that more commercially type sound, like, it works. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with making it sound clean.
Right.
You know, so we just kind of went for it and went in and had, like, no expectations, and then the first mixes started coming out, and we were like, oh, okay, like, that's what it is, and then we just like fine tuned from there.
I had really no idea what to expect, like hearing us through like really professional like equipment that had been like set up with care, you know, towards our sound. Like
my amp was in another room.
I know strange. Like Alex like took so much time and care to kind of like cater to our sound because it is kind of like an out there.
I mean, yeah, and it's hard now to find producers / engineers, whichever one you want to identify as, but I'll say engineers that do have that, like, to have delved into, you know, the guitar sounds and this and that, because a lot of people that you see now, especially in studios, like, they're coming in like YouTube rappers, like coming in with the track and they just want to rap over it. But it's like to find those people who have the experience, those 35-year-old people who are like, oh yeah, I was here when this band recorded, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's really a unique thing, and to try to keep going. So I think it's just like we're seeing the resurgence of it, but
yeah,
it's ready to go. It's ready to take off.
Yeah. Well, there was a song on the EP called Dear Diary, and this one really kind of caught my attention on the produced studio version that we have, because like I do feel like it sort of stands alone on there as more pop.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds real nice. We did a live take on that song today, a little stripped down acoustic version here in the living room.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun to hear, worked it out. I think it's sounded really nice for, you know, just putting together a live acoustic version of it. So, but you're going to hear the polished version up whenever the rest of the EP comes out here in May. But this was a fun little take on it for sure. I enjoy this stuff. Like I like kind of that whole vibe of just jamming in the living room, like exactly like we did, but
yeah,
fuck yeah.
But just like hearing how, like maybe how the song started, you know, plucking away on a guitar, just like, hey, this is this is the bare bones of the song. And then, you know, of course we had the expensive keyboards and everything, all the other stuff. So.
But it started, you know, plucking away in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. I
will add that Dear Diary was actually written out of an exercise that Bianca and I were doing. I was like, let's just take like one chord and just strum it and come up with the best possible melody that we could come up with. And I came up with mine and she came up with hers. And after we listened to them both, I was like, we've got to turn that into a song. It's got to be a song right now.
And then brought it to me and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I was like, yeah.
This is it. And then it was just like, how do we want to push it? Like, we're used to doing the soft loud.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How do we change that dynamically?
I'm done.
Got ended.
That's it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. That was, as far as the studio version goes, remember, we were like, let's make this sound kind of like that dreamy sound that we hear all the time, because that's not like normally our thing.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
We were like, but we play with all these dreamy bands all the time. So we were like, let's just try this and see what happens. And so we turned it into one of those songs. So
yeah, I basically explained to Alex, I wanted this song to be just an overproduced, like, pop song, basically. Something completely outside of our spectrum that we had kind of ventured out into before.
Some, like, 2004, like, Lance Morissette.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It started off a little twangy, like, when I was first playing it. Because I think I did write it on acoustic bass. So anything I play on acoustic bass is going to sound a little twangy. So, like, you know, I had a little twang to it at first. And then I was like, no, this is, like... Somebody needs to jump around to this. Not square dance to it. Right. Which is fine.
How, like, a simple, like,
we'll get there.
Simple, like, cheesy chord progression, like, no matter what, like, everything has been done before. So it's just like, what is your interpretation of it? Like,
right. What are you going to put a twist on?
So, like, we just put a twist in on it and kind of just, like, worked with it and ebbed and flowed. And we messed around with it a few times.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Just to take it from, like, a simple three chord progression to this enormous sounding, like,
the guitar part, like the guitar part that's in there, like, that, like, it's only played, like, what, like, four times total or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that was, like, the driving factor of it. And, like, okay, how
shout out to the Vaselines.
Shout out to the Vaselines. How does that connect to this major chord, happy, open pop song?
Like, yeah,
yeah. So.
Do you do much of this acoustic stuff at all? Like, no?
Not really. I mean, I like to write acoustically, personally. Yeah.
We write songs more quiet like that in a more acoustic setting, but then we figure out how to amp them up into these big electric showcases.
Yeah. We've done a couple acoustic shows just because that's what fit the setting. You know, I think we have one song that, like, was written and produced acoustically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about Zachariah?
Yeah.
Yeah, off the first EP, yeah. Yeah. That was the only one where we were like, let's just keep this entirely acoustic.
Yeah.
Spider on the Wall, actually, you know, the single coming out, is actually kind of, for me, a continuation of that idea. Because I, especially when I was younger, I always had, like, my more acoustic-y songs I would write, and then my more electric, harder songs. And so for me, Spider was kind of like a marriage of those two, where it's got that, like, acoustic-y, like, you could just play it on an acoustic guitar and it would sound fine, but it's amped up into this whole big thing with a whole bunch of shit going on.
It's like Soundgarden light to me.
Oh, really?
Like, it's thinking about, like, the descending patterns and stuff. Like, it's just, like, a different vibe. Like, we played it, like, the first time we played it together, we were like, okay, this is probably, like, the best song on the EP, like...
What is that?
We got a buzzy buzz.
My other phone.
I got two.
Phone, one for the plug, one for the load.
And that,
Well, it'll stop eventually, right? No, air. Okay.
Technical difficulties. Yeah, Walter.
Disney.
Let me just go ahead and turn this off.
So just Miss Popular over here.
She just put it in the ceiling.
I'll go put it in the ceiling with the rest of my...
We're going to drop it in your acoustic bass. You'll never be able to find it ever again.
There's 82 picks in that acoustic bass.
82 picks.
Well, I like this kind of stuff too. Like, I always think of when, you know, especially full band acoustic stuff, I think of, like, all the unplugged sets and on MTV.
Yeah.
And, like, I just a really a big fan, like, I love getting loud and, you know, and dancing around and having fun, but, like, there's something fun about just stripping that away and doing something like this where we can kind of, like, really dive into the lyrics.
Yeah.
And and you know, it's just like it's fun to offer something different, you know, just like especially, like, people may have seen you doing these, you know, loud rock and roll shows and stuff,
right.
But like in order to, like, and then have them just sit down and, like, listen focus in on these lyrics that and stuff, like, it's just a cool thing to do. I think it's just a nice option.
Yeah, that was like a driving, I think, factor before we went in the studio. We were like, what are we taking? Like, okay, well, if people are going to be listening to this at home, like during like quarantine or, you know, whatever, during this, the pandemic time, like, people are going to be listening to this closely. So, like, we want to make sure it's not just like throwaway songs, so, like, you know, stuff that you guys have released before. So I think that was a really cool driving factor that pushed us to like be creative and just kind of go with where, like you said, like, what fits the song? What serves the song? Like, where does it need to go?
We got
This EP is kind of just like, I don't know. I feel like it's got, because it's got some older songs on it that we had like prior. I think one or two of the songs that we actually had when we were recording the first EP. And so, but it also has like some really newer stuff. So it's kind of like a good in-between world of mix of our old sound versus where we're going now.
Yeah. Well, again, you can find this EP on it'll do out everywhere May 21st, titled "Cute to Be Mean," and it'll be again available everywhere. Be sure to follow along on Facebook and Instagram for further updates along the way. But one of those updates also include a official music video that we're working on.
Shout out! Big shout out to the Webster students and Bedrea. Everyone Andrea, who came and helped out.
We love you.
It was great. Shooting that music video was so fun. I was very nervous. I'm a way worse actor than I thought. I was... I know!
I mean, I think the cold brought out the best in all of the ideas. The cold, the planning meeting, and the cold.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. So, someone gets kidnapped in this video, and I won't tell you
who, but
it's someone. And I don't know, we shot on such a cold day, and like, it's so hard to look good and be cold at the same time.
So yeah, we did it, you know, broke some stuff and
a lot of stuff.
Like our front porch.
We did break our front porch.
We did break the front porch.
Filming that video. So, yeah.
And a lot of hearts.
And a lot of hearts.
And a lot of hearts.
To be mean.
That was a fun music video, though. Also, shout out to our buddy Tommy, because the lights in the music video were all from him, and he was in the back there manning that manually.
He plays in the band. A specific light show for our music video. It was great.
He's the bassist for Young Animals, so shout out to him. He fucking killed it.
Tristan Pictures. Photos.
Tristan Shannon did our promotional photos. He's great.
For the EP.
He's great with music videos. TS2 Visual Arts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's, I don't know, he's been a good friend of ours for a little bit now.
So it's just been a huge, like, we've had so much help and, like, so much people, like, caring about this project. It's been amazing to see.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, people you don't expect are like, let us help you.
Yeah, this time brought out just, like, the artsiness in everybody and just, like, supporting, you know, other people's, you know, ventures and, like, whatever they're trying to do. So, you know, scratch somebody's back, scratch yours.
There you go.
Hey.
Well, and hopefully, you know, with this release and things coming around, like the vaccine and all that, hopefully this summer we'll get
number two,
the Centaurettes on a stage and playing out a lot more and stuff. So
outdoor shows, please line them up. Yeah. Somebody
coming to a basement near you. Actually, it's my basement. You have to come to me. Come here.
Shout out to Uncle Joe.
Yeah. Get vax, get big waxed, money. And come out.
There you go.
Get vax, get waxed.
But
play sex.
This has been super cool. I'm really glad that we all linked up and made this happen today.
Thanks so much for coming out.
Shout out Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, we're supposed to do something with them soon, right?
Shut up.
Rock Paper Podcast.
I'm confiscating everyone's dab pen.
That's not fair.
Again, get plugged in on that Instagram and follow along for more updates. And but thank you all for doing this, and I say we do it again soon.
Thank you so
much.
Hell yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
idea. Hold on, let me think.
By all means.
By all means. I'm
right here. We could do it SNL style.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We're the Centaurettes, and you're really... Oh, I mean, we do a Disney channel. Oh, can't say the D word. That's again.
Hi, we're the Centaurettes.
Dude, use your dad pen. Yeah,
right. And you're watching Rock Paper Pod.
Okay, how are we gonna do this for real? Let's just do Derek's idea.
That's what I got. Okay, if any of y'all got something better, by all means.
Go ahead. Who wants to start?
What is it? What is the idea again?
We are the Centaurettes.
You're listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
That sounds great.
Let's do it one more time.
Okay. You want to practice one more time?
No, let's actually do it for real.
Okay. Huh. We are the Centaurettes.
And you are listening to...
No! It took way too long!
Okay, all right. All right. Again, do it again.
Okay. We are the Centaurettes.
And you are listening to...
Rock Paper Podcast.
Way to blow it all through the table for you. That sounds stupid. There. You don't have to lie to us to make us feel better.
I'm gonna put this whole thing in there for.
Oh my! All right.
Outtake.
Wait, do it again. Do it again.
Rock Paper Podcast.
In a world where all of their podcasts are trash,
this one is rock and paper.
Bringing it to you like Amazon Prime.
One man stands alone.
One man.
Amazon.
One man stands alone.
All right.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, fuck Bill Gates.
Fuck Bill Gates. Aquafina.
Pepsi.
What if the fucking Pepsi and SWAT team just bust in here because you guys are like, fuck Bill Gates? They're like, no, fuck you guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.